welcome to Red Ice Creations Radio. My name is Henrik Palmgren, and this is Internet Talk Radio, recorded from the west coast of Sweden. You will find us online at redicecreations.com. We have a new show for you every Thursday and Sunday, and our entire archive of regular shows is up there for free. And if you like the shows and what we do here, we have a lot more programs available for you in the subscribers section, so take a look at that. Last week we had Paul Levy with us talking about George W. Bush and our collective psychosis. Very good stuff, so check that out if you missed it. Now let's kick off today's show. Welcome! Today we have our good friend from creativecosmos.org back with us. Writer, musician, artist and spiritual explorer Christopher Morse is here for his monthly visit. And it's also a pleasure to have back with us our special guest from last month, Shab Danor, also a musician, teacher and a spiritual explorer. And if you didn't hear our last show, I suggest you head on over to my site, redicecreations.com, and check out our archive shows with Chris and Shabda, and you'll get all the background and the full story, so to speak. And today I hope to get into a few of the things. I was sent a couple of articles here today, actually, and that was written by Shabda, and this is about his studies, I guess, into the Kabbalah, and I hope to get into also speaking about the Tarot and maybe Theosophy, and of course if there's time we can also expand our topics talking about spiritual art and how mind-opening and heart-expanding art can help us to grow and awaken to new realities and bring a new perspective to life. But there's many stuff, many topics, so to speak, to get to today. So let's bring on our guest, maybe one at a time, so we know who we're talking to here. Chris, our regular, first up, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you back. How are things at the Creative Cosmos?
Boy, man, they're more spacey than ever. I feel like today, even right this moment, I'm more open and more in tune than I've ever been. I mean, Shab and I have been here getting ready for the show, and I just feel great.
Awesome. Chris is literally glowing. Just like a Cheshire cat.
That sounds great. Yeah, sounds wonderful. And of course, Shab Danor, really enjoyed our last show together. I'm looking forward to, you know, dive deeper into a few of the topics that we didn't get to last time. So again, a warm welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Henrik. It was very, very fulfilling for me to be on last time, and so
excellent.
I'm hoping we can keep this going for a while.
Absolutely, it's great to have you both here again, back with us. And as I said, I read a few articles, very nice, written by Shabda. Maybe we can begin there right away, and just to ask you right on top here, Shabda, when did you first begin to study the Kabbalah?
Well, I was, let's see, this is about 1972. I went to a Dallas occult bookstore. I can't even remember which one. And it was one of those situations where this book literally fell off the shelf and into my hands, or at least that was my perception of it. And it was a book, it was Paul Case's book entitled Tarot, and it was basically a textbook on the inner meanings of the what is called the major arcana in the tarot, the 22 major cards. And there was a little enclosed pamphlet inside the book that was a separate item that just sort of hit me between the eyes. And what it was an invitation to join to take a mail order course from an outfit called the Builders of the Adytum. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but or it may be additum. I've never heard anyone use this word, so I don't know that I'm pronouncing it right or not. That's the one drawback with particularly studying Kabbalah. through the mail. I got lessons every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And the one drawback is that it uses so many words that were foreign to me that I don't know if I'm pronouncing them rightly or not. Probably not. So if you don't really hear someone use the word who authenticates how it's supposed to be pronounced, you don't know. You don't quite know. But it was packed full of very, very interesting information. Particularly the idea of the tarot, especially the 22 major arcana, as being in enveloping all the ancient wisdom in 22 symbols. They're just pregnant with meaning once you unlock, and it takes a while to learn to unlock what the symbols mean, and it speaks directly to you through pictures rather than text.
Yeah, because, you know, you, I think you wrote in one of your articles that the tarot was devised as a pictorial representation of Kabbalistic doctrines, and that's really interesting considering what you just say, that, you know, you have 22 in the major arcana, and then, of course, we have 22 paths in the Kabbalah, right?
Yeah, there are 32, actually, paths to the ancient wisdom. The first 10 are the sephira themselves, you know, the ten circles on the tree.
Yeah.
And then the other 22 paths are the pathways connecting the circles. So when you add it all up together, you get 32.
Interesting.
And there are 32 aspects of human consciousness, or any kind of consciousness, whether it be human or otherwise. And that's the basis of it.
Yeah.
And once you get into this, you think, my gosh, this one diagram has encapsulated how the universe was created and all the rules and all the conditions of the matrix that we live in. It's all there. And the idea is that once you understand this, you can reprogram the matrix.
Yeah, you wrote some very by the way, you know that humans actually have 22 chromosomes also. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Kind of connect.
There's that's it's interesting that you would bring that up, because I've just recently discovered another website that really captivated me. It's called Wingmakers. Have you ever seen the Wingmakers.com?
Yeah, I have. It was a while I was visiting that site, but this is kind of a flash introduction page where you get to right away, isn't that correct?
Say that again.
The first page you get to when you get to Wingmakers is kind of this really fancy design in Flash. Yeah. I think I remember the site anyway. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, they have a series of art. The Wingmakers pictures, which I fell in love with right away, and I just took them all down right off the internet and put them up in my front room. I have them all. There are 24 of them, and they're supposed to be, at least what it seems to me, they're the spiritual significance of each point in our DNA. And it was interesting, just today I was just finishing a David Icke book where he explains that scientists are only interested really in about 4 to 5% of what DNA is, and the rest of it they call junk DNA.
Yeah.
And of course this sent up a big red flag for David. He says, no way.
That's right.
He says, this is not junk, this is where the real stuff is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Particularly being able to master at least the matrix that you experience, doesn't have to be the matrix that everybody else experiences. Yeah. You can reprogram it and get out of some of the absolutes that we're suffering under.
Get out from under any absolutes. Yeah. I mean, you know, we were just talking about this. This is part of what we like to warm up for the show by just like doing like two or three shows where we talk in the morning. And yeah, we were just talking about how it's just, you know, you open up areas of space by, you know, this is what we do on the air here, by talking about these, we give life to these ideas and we open up space, and if then somebody is exposed to that space, it changes everything, because once you're exposed to something, you can't really be unexposed to it, and it just becomes, it doesn't matter even what you think about it, really, it's just out there as a possibility now, and maybe one day your brain pathways will run through it, and that's just more territory. You know, I sometimes talk about that mental territory. You know, you're just, that's how you grow and expand. You just keep looking for new territory. I mean, that's why I love to find, you know, new books that excite me or awaken something in me or take me on a journey, because that's just the expansion, the growth, and then that becomes a part of your own, what you bring to creation. This is how you breathe life again into all, you know, that was beautiful that you study, you know, all the people in the history or music or artists or philosophers, sages, you know, people that have done great work that are our predecessors, you know, you just drink deeply of that, as they say, and make it a part of your being, and then anytime you create something, you're moving the ball forward for all of them. You're continuing the work, which is the point, you know, to keep it going, to keep it going, and to bring it further and further and higher, and the more you can do, it just shines brilliantly, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think about Robert Anton Wilson. I heard a talk with him the other day. He was talking about also the idea of reaching, of how to reach more people, just as you said there, Chris, to kind of hopefully to just get it out there, so more and more people who might not have heard about it actually, you know, get exposed to the ideas. I guess you could say it's like a fear of constantly, I guess, preaching to the choir. So I mean, that is a bit of a dilemma, I guess, to kind of reach new people. But I mean, do you guys have any ideas on how to do that? I mean, just go out in the street and yell, or
well, I've been telling all my friends, and I have had some feedback that they did listen to the show, and that they're you know, now aware of your network.
Yeah, yeah.
The Red Ice, and I'm sure they'll you know, go back and hear other broadcasts.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah,
and like a little different spin, like what you were saying made me think about something I've been reflecting on lately, is just how we, you know, we have this angle of expression and kind of a real affirmative way of reaching out, but also just you have to make it a regular practice of how you are in day-to-day life. I mean, in any day we go out and we're exposed to many, many different people, and many different situations come up, and one of the things we do is, you know, continue to refine our own way of meeting the world and maintaining what we're doing, you know, maintaining who we are, you know, spirit in the flesh and awake and alert and aware, not believing, you know, we're moving, we're flowing, and we're going out into the world. And, you know, it's a special trick to find the balance of where you can meet the world and send it in, the ripples out into the general public. You know, it's something you keep doing. It's an art form in itself to, you know, speak to somebody in a way that gives them respect and you honor them, and you know, maybe sometimes even give somebody more worth than they may even give themselves, and just giving them that attention. I mean, some people are really, really just need a little bit of TLC, I guess. You know, they're just withering inside, and just a little bit of watering of the seed will help the plant grow, you know.
It just, it's like a reminder to people that they are the one. We're all Neo in a way. Every one of us, we're all Neo. The character in The Matrix, the movie.
Sure, yeah.
And it's a matter of just reminding people. I was just thinking, Chris, you were just saying, in a way, we're all broadcasting who we are all the time. That's inevitable. We're all doing that. But when you hook up to the Internet, that broadcast goes a whole lot further.
It does. It goes around the world, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You know, one very interesting aspect I thought was I read kind of, I guess, your take on. By the way, let's do this. You're studying into the Kabbalah, to return to that. Have you, you know, kind of the articles I read? I'm going to post those in relation to this program, by the way, so people can take a look at them and read them. But have you kind of, you know, devised your own, you know, you wrote about the introduction to the Kabbalistic tree, you know, of life diagram.
Yes.
And
yes.
Was this kind of your personal interpretation, or do you base this on any other previous, you know, studies?
Well, yes, part of this is kind of, I guess you'd say, a summary of what I think Paul Case said about this. Let's put it that way.
Right, yeah.
Plus, you know, you read certain things and they just go right into your third eye sometimes. Yeah. And you just know it is true. You don't need anything else. It's just like, yes, that's it.
Mm.
It's not that you agree. It's just that for a split second, your whole being opens up and sees that it's true.
Yeah.
You just see it. So it doesn't need any. It doesn't need any other documentation. You just see it, you know.
Yeah. So
let's go. Do you want to go through the ten statements?
Sure, if you want to.
Yeah. Let me just statement. It's good that Chris hasn't exactly read exactly all of this, because I'd like to just throw these at him.
All right.
And get him to say, okay, boom. This is what it is. I have to go through here.
Sure,
okay.
Sure, no problem.
So this is something that was published by Paul Foster Case in about, oh man, I think the early 20s. It's an early work of his.
Mm, yeah.
And from what I remember, he states at some point that this was given to him in a, not a trance state, but it was given from what he calls the inner school.
Mm.
So it starts out with the zero point, and it just says all the power that ever was or will be is here now. Chris, I just throw you a football.
All right. Well, the thing that occurs to me, just as you say that, is just how we're not trying to become something else, that we already are that huge grand scope and scheme of things. Like, we can't see what we truly are because we have a fixed point about ourselves. We define ourselves and limit ourselves and put ourselves in a box. But the more you can unravel that and open that up, and the more you find the different dimensions of yourself, where you even start to supersede personality, and you tune into your own universality, and you see the consciousness behind everything. And that is what the eternal present moment is. We can go deeper and deeper into the present moment all the way to eternity. I mean, it's talking about the higher inner dimensions of ourselves. We get to that point of where, you know, we are connected and rejuvenated from the source itself. and we know everything from the inside out. And what we know from the inside out is that all that can be is here and now, as
yeah,
you say.
Yeah, I mean, all the masters have talked about this statement about power. It's not that we need to have power. It's already there. What the need is to tune into it. It's like tuning your radio station.
Yeah.
And once you know how to do that, then you become very powerful. So that's the first truth about the self, is that we're not the little me that sometimes we're led to believe that we are.
Yeah.
We're not stuck.
If we are to look at the, I guess, the image of the classic Kabbalah, is this the zero? Is that the root, so to speak, at the bottom? Or where do we begin?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
We begin with the world, and you have to go through all the different stages to get to the zero point.
Yeah.
The zero point's kind of interesting. Buddha called it a void.
Yeah.
The Western occultism calls it the all.
I like the void. I mean, the void really helped me to think of it that way.
They're talking about the same thing. It's two windows, you know, because here we are, when we're speaking through mind. Mind has to have left, right, or up and down. So when we use language, we talk about things like, okay, is it the void or is it the all? Well, it's both.
Hmm.
Well, the void, yeah.
The void has all everything that is, that can be. For instance, all the power that ever was or will be is here now. That's the void,
and that's
or
also
the all.
It's also removing time from the picture. Like we've talked on the show before about how you can totally get past time. You know, just get rid of time consciousness, because a lot of that artificial structure exists within a time consciousness.
Well, that's what Christ was saying. Somebody asked him, one of the disciples asked him about how do we know when we're in the kingdom? Well, time disappears. David Icke puts it a different way. He says, if you're experiencing time, you're still in the matrix. If time disappears, and it does to us all the time, it does, whether we notice it or not. Time disappears when you're having a great time, and then suddenly you realize, my God, is it already 12:30?
Yeah.
And
that's the heart awakening. That's living with the heart open.
Yeah. So let's move on to number one.
All right.
Okay, number one says, I am a center of expression for the primal will to good, which eternally creates and sustains the universe.
Yeah.
I am a center of expression.
Yeah. Well, that's also goes with the Zen saying, become the hollow bamboo. I mean, you become the universe's instrument. The universe plays you. You know, when you open up and you learn to go with inspiration and you move. I mean, at first you kind of have to practice it. You kind of have to create something. You do a bunch of experiments. Then after a while, you know, you get the flow going, and the universe really moves you as a living work of art every moment of every day. And so that's also a means of how, like I was talking about earlier, living that in the world, you know, becoming that in the world. And that's the will, you know, the will, like I said, will to good. You know, we express, we sustain things, we create things by aligning with that will. And see, then what it's saying also is, you know, that's not will serving ego, which a lot of people have, which is their small, localized, personal view and what they prefer and not prefer and what they're trying to gain and all the things that might be in somebody. This is kind of after you give that up, you dismantle that, you get out of the way, you see that there is a greater good. You're part of the bigger picture, and you see that what you're here to do is serve a role in that.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Henrik, you want to add anything to this?
No, guys, let's go. This is great. So we can get to them all.
Okay.
Let's continue.
Here's what the number two. Through me, its unfailing wisdom takes form in thought and word. Actually, what we're doing today, or attempting to do.
Yeah, well, through me, through the me. The me is the watcher, the one who is aware. And that is not a different thing. Like I've said sometimes before, the master is one and the same. It's the same, you know, we might look at someone like Osho or Yogananda or, you know, even David, you know, is someone who's awake and is like a teacher, a master teacher in their own right. But the true master state, what it is, you know, it's totally not that this person is a master over anything. It's a master of, it's not even that they're a master of themselves. I'm even seeing around, it said the master is present, and the master is that consciousness of the universe as it is awake in you. You are awake, we are here, I am here, I am ready to do the good work.
Man, are you sure you didn't read this? Because you almost
I don't know, I'm just firing away.
All right, let's go to number three. Filled with understanding of its perfect law, I am guided moment by moment along the path of liberation.
Yeah, the way of Tao. You just walk a steady path, you know, you follow the river of life. You don't fight against the current. You don't try to take your own personal... Well, you know, that's one of the things we learn is that the more personal we do things, really the more harm we bring upon ourselves, kind of, because we're working against the natural currents of the universe. The best thing to do is see what comes moment to moment and be able to tune into that and go along with that fluidly and not make any fuss about it. And then you walk the way of life. That's a steady path.
That's it. I want to read just a little bit of a little quote, because it explains my own personal... Everybody gets their understanding and their guidance in a unique way. And mine is kind of strange. I'm just going to read this thing. It says, moment by moment, filled... you're guided. In other words, the idea where if we would just wake up, we will be guided to our own liberation. Because the basic will of the universe and of the universe.
That's pretty good, though.
That's a good one.
That's good.
is for everybody to be liberated. So in a little blurb here that I have written here, it says, liberation from what? We want to be liberated from our limited view of who we are. This affirmation states that guidance is always available to us. The universe itself will guide us if we will only listen with ears to hear, see with eyes to see. I get advice, and actually quality advice, from very strange places these days. At the checkout station in the local grocery store, I always pay attention to the clerk. If he or she says, your change is $1.30. I don't know how many times I've rushed home and looked up in the I Ching, the Book of Changes, hexagram 1, leading to hexagram 30, for some advice on something that's been on my mind as of late. I get a great answer 100% of the time. Just because intuitively somebody looked me in the eye and said, your change is 1 followed by 30, $1.30.
Yeah.
And so I look it up in the I Ching, and boom, I get an answer to something that's been on my mind. I can get it from, well, I have sort of, there's another little interesting thing on this idea of working with the I Ching. I had to buy a new copy of my favorite translation, which is the Zen Tarot by, what's this guy's name? I can't think of the author right now, but I reread the introduction only to find out that I had been using the wrong correspondence for the coins, the coin oracle. I had been looking up everything backwards all this time, and I had been getting totally wonderful answers, and so when I've turned them around backwards again so they'd be right, I continue to get great answers. So it doesn't make any difference. You know, all this hocus-pocus that you have to do it the right way. The universe is going to talk to you even if everything you know is wrong, to quote the Fire Sign Theater. Okay. Before we go on to that, what came into my mind was the incredibleness that we're talking to each other and you're on the other side of the world and it's not the same time where you are. Are you ahead or behind according to us?
I'm ahead, I think.
So when you talk to us, you are literally
in the future.
No, you're in the past.
Yeah, that's it, right? The time is 8.
And when we talk to you, you're literally in the future. Now, how can that be?
It can't be.
Time does not exist.
Exactly. Yeah, it's an illusion.
Are we proving it right now?
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even when we get in the groove, we get pretty discorporate, almost just riding up somewhere in outer space.
Yeah.
Sailing through the day.
All right, back to the ranch here. Here we go. We're number 4. And this is apparently like really a good thing to throw at Chris right now, because he just is gone through a tremendous crossroads in his life. And everything has worked out, actually. So here it is. Number 4. From the exhaustless riches of its limitless substance, I draw all things needful, both spiritual and material. Chris.
Well, yeah. You just... That link to the universe, being connected personally to the source, you know, no matter that the let go that you need for change, it is, you know, sometimes can be even arduous, usually the universe will be doing exactly what you need. You know, I've talked about this before in articles where I say, you know, every moment is the master, or, you know, it doesn't, you know, or, you know, they say when the student is ready, the master will come. But the fact is, you know, sometimes it'll come in the form of a, you know, a wizened soul to give you whatever. But more often than not, it just happens with the people in your life every day, or the situations that come every day. And we just have to truly be open and allow for change. And you know, for some people, you know, this is what I say, sometimes you got to be willing to risk. I mean, you got to be willing to let things get stirred up, because sometimes you need things to be stirred up to get those rejuvenating energies, the cleansing energies, the healing energies, so you can get, you know, the next wave of something new, whatever your next point on soul purpose is, what your next occurrence is.
All right. Just one comment about what it says here about the exhaustless riches. It's curious that it says, I draw all things needful. That doesn't say, I get everything I want, or I think I want, or what I think I need.
Yeah.
It says, you know, as if to say the next step in your development is right there in front of you. Now just move. Go. Take the step.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Number 5. I recognize the manifestation of the undeviating justice in all the circumstances of my life. Woo!
Wow.
Well, let me just say one thing here. He's talking about, it's really another way. The Kabbalah is older than the Jesus sayings, but he's saying it the same thing that he said in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Yeah, well, you know, that was something, like as you said earlier, we were talking about how you radiate your energy out. So every second of every day, depending on what you're radiating out, you are creating your world in accordance with that. So you'll see the reflection of that which you kick out, you know, quite literally return to you. And you know, I'm going back to some of this archetype thought, you know, I sometimes even see like all the people in my life or all the circumstances, they're all kind of archetypes for me in my alone space, in the space where I am just myself, and I see, I'm witnessing, watching, looking at these things and seeing what the lessons are. You know, you can always see that what's in front of you is a part of yourself and part of that pathway that opens up the space, you know. And that I wanted to even elide that with what you were saying earlier about how you read the numbers, you know, in everyday events, or you know, it's like whatever you kind of agree upon or come to reference yourself, just say, okay, this is my channel to the universe, you know. It could be anything, you know. Some people do the animal totems, and you know, that has a little different twist, you know, that has a little different feel. Or you know, you do the numbers, or you do the tarot, or you do the planets, or you come up with just like a language between you and the universe. And you can even come to use all these things, and even also, like you say, you can go to the store, go on a little walk, and someone might be sitting on a bench and they'll just say something to you, but that might be that perfect lightning strike from the universe, you know, not just somebody that you don't know, that you're not going to pay attention to because you're just too busy walking about. You know, that's how people miss all these signs and all these lessons, because they're just all wrapped up in themselves in that way of just narrow focus just on, like you say, their own wants and desires, instead of seeing the signs or seeing that the path, you know, it's all, if you're following that path, you don't have any guarantee, but it's always leading to greener pastures.
Yeah, it's really as if the universe has made a eternal promise that it always says yes to whatever language, whatever means of communication that we want. It said yes ahead of time. And concerning the justness of it, it's what brought me to mind was, and I wanted to get this little quote from John Lilly from The Center of the Cyclone, which is a book that really hit me between the eyes back in the 70s when it first came out. I copied this down by hand, and I have used it over and over again because it's so true. Man's mind is a mirror of a universe that mirrors man's mind. Though this mirroring is subtle, random, and unfathomable, what one believes to be true either is true or becomes true in one's mind within the limits to be determined experimentally and experientially. These limits are beliefs to be transcended.
Yeah.
Don't like your life? Change your thinking.
Yes, keep in that also. You know, soak things up. Soak up all that you can. And, I mean, that's part of the process that we're doing now. I mean, transcending, that's a key word. You know, you soak up things and transcend. You don't have to stay within any structure because, again, we are the master. We are the one who is awake. We are the one who has that as at our disposal for expression.
Yeah.
You know, that's the life of an artist / mystic.
I also have another. I have most of these sayings that are written in the blurb. When I moved...
Blog,
whatever it is. It's on Chris's website. When I moved into the house that I'm living in right now, one of the worst rooms was the bathroom. Oh, my God, it was a wreck when I moved in. And even with several coats of paint and plugging up all the holes, the bathroom wall was so messed up that it was kind of wavy. You know, had cracks and everything because the house had settled underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been the really badly leaking roof that leaked for 5 years. And so the floor was wobbly.
Yeah.
And the walls were very, very... strange. So I put up my own wallpaper of all the what I call spiritual one-liners that I had found in other people's books, and I laminated it all and made homemade wallpaper just to cover the walls up. So I can go in there and reflect on.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones in there.
One of the best ones that I ever found that like. Just 6 words. What you see is what you get. 7 words. That's Flip Wilson. Do you remember him?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he had this character alter ego called Geraldine. He was extremely funny, but like so many comedians, he was also expounding some pretty incredible truths. And what he said is, what you see is what you get.
Yeah,
and that's all you get. If you can't see it, see meaning understand it, you don't get anything but what you can see. And if you want to get more, you got to grow.
Well, that's also underlies the importance of opening up space by bringing these means that can meet and make that possible for people to have that happen in their life, because it's not even part of the normal societal way of thinking that kind of magic or that kind of true life and interaction with life is there. But it is. It really is.
All right, Hendrik, you got something?
I'm sitting back and just enjoying the conversation. I love this stuff, so please continue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Please interject anytime you want to.
Absolutely. Sure. Sure.
Okay, we're going to go on to number 6. In all things great and small, I see the beauty of the divine expression.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
Well, you know, when you get to that point of where you like we were talking in a different ways earlier, of opening up and letting the universe kind of come into you. I mean, I think even Osho says that he's the host and he invites the guest. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's a way of kind of, you know, you can almost a little bit, you know, the universe, you know, we talk about, but there's a character there. There's it's not really, there's an individual or a flavor, you know, aspects of how it relates. You know, it's not like a dead thing or it's not an idea it's like a scientific postulate. No, this life, it coaxes you, it loves you, it comes and wants to fill you up and share that joy. And when you are in that state, you see that life is coming up through all other life and doing that same thing. And then you can see when you look. Even in an, like, I've seen it in my cat's eyes. I look in the cat's eyes and I'm like, yeah, I see you in there, universe. You know, I see you looking through the cat. Or, you know, I see you over there, you know, lurking everywhere, playing hide and seek with me, trying to get my attention.
Yeah. Let me read a little bit of it from the blog here. This is something that came to me at the time, and I want to get it right here. It says, in all things great and small, I see the beauty. That's the idea here. I'm saying great and small actually is redundant, as greatness and smallness is a product of the limitations of the human mind. And this is something, the next sentence is something that I got from one of my favorite books. Value is a property of logical reasoning only. The universal mind acts on all probabilities in all possible directions all at once.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding of the proverbial Big Bang theory is that everything that has and will happen in our present cycle of creation has already happened at the moment of the so-called Big Bang.
Yeah.
Mm.
What we are experiencing as events unfolding in sequential time are the shadows or the repercussions of what has already happened in such a condensed form that only the universal divine mind could experience it. In order for the divine mind to share it with us, or to put it more correctly, to live it through us as us, these events in time and space had to be delivered to our poor limited minds in a sequential manner of our daily lives. Otherwise, how could we possibly share in it, our mental capacities being what they are? I sense this as being true. In fact, I remember it as being true. To be more accurate, I, as a center of expression for the primal will to good, have tapped into the cosmic memory and seen that what I have just described is essentially so. This is truth about the self. So I ask you, what could be more beautiful than this? Case closed.
Well, yeah, man, that's the whole thing. Like, even your wildest dreams it's not even as good as the reality. I mean, the reality is, that's the joy of it. That's the beauty of discovering what's happening is, yes, you know, like your fears lift and all that you ever hoped is so, you know, all that you ever could imagine of goodness, of grace, of beauty, of you know, it all is.
Let's throw a big horseshoe into the middle of this stew here. Well, what about the horrors of war? What's that? Why is the whole world in such a negative dark space with all the killing? Is this just the wake-up call that we seem to need?
Well, I mean,
that's the only way
I can. Yeah.
Here we say everything is beautiful and wonderful, and it is.
Yeah.
And yet, the world that we live in, well, certainly I wouldn't describe the news that's on every day about what's going on.
Well,
as necessarily beautiful and wonderful.
Well, see, that's just it. It's a good point, because we, like we say, everything is beautiful and ideal and great.
Yeah. You know,
but that does not exclude the fact that we cannot consider these things in their own realm, in their own way. You know, because we are both that. You know, like when we can be truly watchful, we can have that cosmic mind, that ultimate place of reference, but we can also drift up and down. You know, we can go through the astral realms, we can come down into the body, we can turn our mind to this issue, that issue, down here on the ground, and then in fact that is how we draw from those higher sources and transmute the energy to reach the density, to get it in a form that can actually have an impact by matching it up with the circumstances that are occurring. And I think there is an element of earth and earth life. There's kind of a primal instinct, you know. There's always been killing, you know, and I think maybe that's a measure of consciousness and where consciousness is on a global scale, you know, because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of pain from people being conscious of that killing in a way that's never happened before, that's been made available by the media and by, you know, means as this, that, you know, people are feeling it and people are in agony over it, and more people just can't bear what's happening. So maybe, you know, in that sense, it's showing that people are becoming more conscious, and at some point they will say enough is enough.
Boy, oh boy. That's the day I want to be here. Still. When the people say to all the political shenanigans that's going on worldwide, all right, we're through with you guys. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, take a stand for life. You know, take a stand for what you know is right, for what's good.
Yeah. All right, let's go on here. It says, number 7, that's a good time to put number 7 in there. And let me preface this with, are we going to be stuck with war forever? The war on terror? Okay, number 7 says, living from that will and supported by its unfailing wisdom and understanding, mine is the victorious life.
Yeah, I mean, courage, you know, the courage that it takes to live that way, you know, it invokes in me that thought of, I was just describing this to a friend of mine just today and yesterday, that, you know, it's somewhere in me was awakened this, you know, almost a knightly quality, or, you know, this taking up the mission and knowing that, you know, almost like a self-validated thing. Like, there's not very many people that can say, yes, you know, you do have this personal mission on the earth to carry this good work, but, you know, when you realize that about yourself, and you awaken that about yourself, and face that about yourself, and embrace that, then you can walk with consciously, and you know that you are that awake representative, meeting every moment to change people's lives just by being the living example of truth. You know, I'm the way and the truth and the light.
Yeah. Let's look at it through a slightly different window. I'm very aware right now of David Icke-ness because I've been reading his books and just lapping it up. What a tremendous fountain of outpouring that this person is. Just amazing. The question is, if we are in this matrix, which we all appear to be in some fashion or another, are we going to be doomed to being controlled by all these negative energies? Or, when enough of us expand to the point to where we know that we can turn around and not look at the shadows and see the reality, as in Plato's cave metaphor, we can reprogram the matrix to be the paradise instead of the hell that it seems to be going towards.
Well, I'll
tell
you, dude. I'll tell you, you know, as you're talking that, I can see that question you posed to me earlier about, you know, change, or as we were talking about the universe and how you just got to see what seems obvious and be able to move with that instead of being hell bent on your own personal wants, needs, and limited point of view. I mean, as you're just saying that, it's the same question all over again. You know, it's the society on a macro scale. I mean, clearly the society is it's gone past the point of where the old direction is helping anymore.
Yeah.
And new directions are there and available, but there's got those blinders on because that's what's coming through their mainstream media, the TV and stuff. That's putting the blinders on to tell them, hey, you don't see these other possibilities. You know, that's part of the splitting things into duality on the TV news. Well, either you think this or you think this, and they're both very limited and things that can be managed. So if you accept either side of that argument in the duality that's presented for you, you're trapped.
Right.
Because that's the whole game.
Right.
That's the game. Because it's making you believe you're choosing, but you're choosing to imprison yourself either way. Because it doesn't need to be like that. There are infinite possibilities. And as we look out, there are tons and tons of solutions. And we're fully capable. We're here. We could make that happen in no time if things just open up and allow it to be possible. What the hell's going to happen? We can't legislate every single thing that happens every single day. We're going to be dead. We'll be spiritually dead.
I agree.
All right. Let me go to the next one. Number 8. I look forward with confidence to this perfect realization of the eternal splendor of the limitless light. I want to read a little bit more on this. It's a hint and a reminder that as we see it in our limited viewpoint, locked in the illusions of finite time and space, creation is not yet complete. That's the way it looks to us. In reality, it has already happened, but this doesn't help us much. We wanted to watch it all unfold, and so we are having our collective wish realized within our lives as limited created beings, seemingly stuck inside a body of physical flesh and blood. We have become identified with our outermost temporary layer of beingness, the vehicle, in other words, and mistaken it for the essential being that we actually are. The truth is that we are gods in the making, but even that is an illusion. We are already the case. It is as if we have asked to view the life process in a step-by-step manner in order to experience more fully and at a slow pace who and what we are. We want to live out all the consequences of our understanding and do this over and over again as we discard outworn bodies and trade them in for new ones. This is truth about the self.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, one thing I'd like to say about that is just also the fact that we say yes to, yes, we are, that it all has happened at once, it all exists as one, but yes, also we are living it as it unfolds. But and that gives a point, but and it's yes to both of those and yes to many more things that from the point of view of the watcher or being aware, you can get so beyond even, I mean, some of that even can fall, like as even as you were telling me, no matter what structure you put to it, or even no matter what, if there's like hierarchy or, you know, any kind of a defining way, we can still get past it. We're still kind of tied into an extension of what the matrix is, you know. And so I think with something like that, you know, we have to get to that point of where we see, yeah, you know, it's also, we're just sitting here. You know, we resting in the body, and wherever we turn our attention and whatever we want, we can do.
Well, I think eventually you come to a point where you flip out of the whole system. Like, it's like, why wait for it to unfold? Boom, you're out of the matrix. The unfolding is the matrix and that whole illusion of time and things adding up and, you know, evolving, you know, everything that can possibly happen has already happened or is eternally happening.
Well, and see what else, once you get a taste of that awareness, it totally changes how your life unfolds then after. And so that's a whole other matter.
You bet. All right, let's go. Let's see if we can get all 10 of these in on the first hour here. Number 9, in thought and word and deed, I rest my life from day to day upon the sure foundation of eternal being.
Well, keeping a state of mindfulness, right? Like Thich Nhat Hanh talks about, like every single thing that you experience is a means to practice mindfulness. You know,
explain a little bit what that is.
Yeah, it's like remembering yourself, remembering what's going on, you know, in the broader scope of things. You know, anything can be a call to, well, another thing mindfulness is, you don't lose yourself to external stimuli. You know, you just monitor yourself on an ongoing basis, and you just, you deal with everything from that state of awake consciousness, and you deal with everything, you know, very, very much presently, you know, that you bring your... That's why you don't have to have a system to run it through, because if you can bring that alert attention to the moment, you'll know what's best to do, and that which will create the best possibilities for the future in and of itself. So you don't really have to plan for the future, you just have to lay it brick by brick as you go along.
Yeah. Mindfulness could be... a little bit of a confusing word, because that would possibly mean thinking.
Saying. Right.
Essentially, I think what he's talking about is...
It's kind of a Thich Nhat Hanh term.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
that's
where I learned it.
Yeah, that's
it.
The Buddhist way of doing it.
Right.
In the West, we think mind means thinking, but he's using mind meaning consciousness without thought. In other words, thoughts are the distraction.
Right.
When you're not thinking, then you see directly everything that is. See meaning understand concepts. In other words, you go to the root form of the concept before it's put into words, which is a limitation.
Right, big time.
Yeah.
Filter. I mean, that's why I say don't
So
interpret.
That's it. If you can rest your life from day to day on that kind of consciousness, you just sail through. Everything becomes wallpaper.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. You know, it is. Useful, yes, but not the real thing. Not the essential thing. All right, let's go on the very bottom. The kingdom of spirit is embodied in my flesh. Now that's pretty...
Well, yeah, I mean, that you could take in any number of ways, you know, from like the Christ way of saying spirit made flesh. But even right now, I kind of feel like talking about it in an atomic sense, in a vibratory sense. You know, where...
Go for it.
Where you just feel, you know, that you're becoming the bridge for these higher energies to, you know, to flow through the realms. You know, even, you don't even have to consider it like a hierarchy. You just look at it as the river that runs through the realms. You know, we, like Osho says, a meeting of the earth and the sky. You know, that's what it means. We are the bridge. We are the spirit in the body. You know, that's the consciousness. You know, because at first, if you're just living a mind-oriented life, even like your body physically is not the same. As Shab knows, I've changed dramatically over 10, 12 years, what I look like, how I move, everything about myself is different. You know, I used to be a more maybe clumsy or herky-jerky, or, you know, with whatever was in my head and whatever pain I was carrying around, you know, it manifests in the body. You can see it on people. If you are in a aware and relaxed state, you look at somebody, you know exactly what's going on in their mind just from what they're, as again, where they were radiating out. You know, they don't even maybe realize they're radiating it out, you know. But then when we release those things, that's why we have to face hard things. That's why we have to face, you know, sometimes, you know, just make the tough call and go into it, because once it's over, it's over. And once it's done, it'll fade fast, and you'll have the free energy. You know, you'll have the benefit of what it feels like to be the bridge, what it feels like to be fully conscious, and that is freedom in the body.
If you don't experience it all the way, it won't ever be done. In other words, whatever experience you're having, you have to complete it.